Welcome back to the second hour of Backbone Radio here on AM 710 KNUS in Denver and 1460 KZNT down in Colorado Springs and online at 710KNUS.com. This is Jimmy Sangenberger sitting in for Ross Kaminsky, who is with his mother on this Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all of you moms out there. Hope it's been a great one for you. We're back here in the studio with Matt Arnold, and before we get back to Matt, I just want to let you know that next Sunday evening, Ross Kaminsky will be having an exclusive interview with Paul Ryan, who, of course, is the chairman of the House Budget Committee, the U.S. House Budget Committee, who pushed forth that rather controversial yet strongly conservative budget plan, which it's doubtful that it will get through, but this is a conversation that needs to happen, and he single-handedly, in my opinion, managed to change the debate on this issue by putting forth a solid, truly conservative plan that tries to decrease government spending and reel in the size and scope of government at the federal level. And, of course, Paul Ryan will be on this program next Sunday here on Backbone Radio, so be sure to tune in then to hear that conversation, which will most certainly be one that you will not want to miss. Matt, I want to continue talking about the state level right now.
Right.
Right now we've got a debate going on. It's brewing big time, as it does every 10 years or so after the census comes out, dealing with redistricting and reapportionment and what happens when we reset the boundaries for legislative districts in the state and congressional districts as well. But a lot of people can get confused as to what these two differences are. You published a well-articulated piece breaking down the distinction between these on your website, clearthebenchcolorado.org. Why don't you give our listeners a little bit of information about the difference between the two?
Got it. Well, the important thing to understand is that there is a different process for drawing up the districts for Congress and the districts for our state legislature. For Congress, it's the responsibility of the state legislature to draw up those districts, and the way that happens is they have to pass a bill in the legislature, which then is signed into law by the governor. That's a battle that's going on right now, and I think we're going to get into that in more detail in the second segment. But at the state level, and that's what we'll focus on now, the process is done by a commission. And it's an appointed commission. It's 11 members. And the first four members, and it is actually appointed in sequence. So the legislature appoints four members, one each from the House and Senate, my majority and minority leadership. So the Senate president, the House minority leader, the House speaker, and the Senate minority leader each appoint one. So you automatically start off with a 2-2 tie in terms of the partisan membership,
right,
for the legislative appointments. Following that, the governor then appoints three. And there's, you know, I don't, again, the timeline happens like about 2-week intervals. And for more details on that, go to clearthebenchcolorado.org and search on redistricting or reapportionment, and you'll find these articles. And then after that, the final four, the decisive final four, are appointed by the Chief Justice of the Colorado Supreme Court. And first off, this is sort of a troubling process because, again, well-intentioned plan going awry. The intent was to try to take politics out of the process. Impossible. It's an intensely political battle. It is an intensely political result and process that people pursue because they're trying to get partisan advantage. So, you know, trying to put this in the hands of a commission, again, an appointed commission that is not accountable to the people, is kind of problematic. And the troubling thing from my perspective regarding the judicial branch, because that's my main mission with Clear the Bench Colorado, is to educate people about our judicial branch and hold them accountable, is that it tempts the judicial branch to get involved in politics when it should not be their role. The role of the judicial branch is to uphold the Constitution, uphold the law, rule on cases, and not get mixed up in politics. And because we have drawn our judicial branch into politics, they have become more political. And that's very troubling. What happened last time is the very partisan, very political Chief Justice Mary Mularkey stacked the deck for the Democrats, being a partisan Democrat herself, despite the fact that Republicans controlled the House, they controlled the governor's office. It didn't matter. They lost 6-5 on the Reapportionment Commission, and the Reapportionment Commission drew up state legislative districts that were very favorable to Democrats. In this last election cycle, 54% of the vote of the electorate voted for Republicans in the state Senate, yet we have 15 Republicans and 20 Democrats. In the House, 58% of the electorate voted for Republicans, yet Republicans only have a one-seat lead in the House. So again, it's clearly very important how the lines on the map are drawn. They can be drawn to favor one party, and this last time around, that's exactly what happened. So you see a majority Republican state have minority Republican representation, especially in the state Senate. Again, a very important and very strategic part of that process.
What about congressional redistricting?
Well, we can get into that in a bit more detail after the break, but congressional redistricting, again, by our Constitution, must be done by the legislature. Article 5, Section 44 of the Colorado Constitution delegates that authority, that responsibility, exclusively to the General Assembly. And again, what happened last time when the Democrats dug in their heels, refused to come to a compromise in the legislature, and that was their strategy, their plan along, it's come out that was in fact their strategy, to send it to the courts, and again, a very partisan Colorado Supreme Court led by a very partisan Chief Justice Mary Malarkey stepped in, declared themselves more or less part of the General Assembly so they could draw up Colorado's congressional districts. And that was the Salazar versus Davidson case. Again, you can read these cases in the background on the website, cliffthebenchcolorado.org, to inform yourself and understand exactly what happened.
It's astounding if you really think about how the sausage is made, Matt. We got a caller on the line. Caller, welcome to Backroom Radio. Jimmy Sangenberger sitting in for Ross Kaminsky, and Matt Arnold joining me.
Hi, this is John Buckley. Am I on?
Yes, you are, sir.
Matt knows me real well. We're at Leadership Program of the Rockies classmates, and Matt have great respect for him. I have respect for his service in Iraq. I have a son that did three tours in Iraq with special ops, and I'm a retired military officer. But I'm also counsel to the El Paso County Republican Party, and I'm the guy that drafted, as Matt knows very well, I'm the guy that drafted the offending email to the secretary of the El Paso County Party that went out to the three elected officers, only elected officers of the party, saying that what Matt is doing right now, rightfully, appropriately, and fairly, critiquing the performance of an elected official, that an elected party official could not do that publicly. Now, as Matt knows, the woman he's dating, who is that secretary, when she got that email, wanted to have a press conference and take on the party in breach of her fiduciary obligation as an elected party official. Matt's absolutely right. The Republican Party needs to debate these issues. It needs to be a full and vigorous debate. I'm the guy who has believed firmly in the marketplace of ideas. I'm not a good old boy in El Paso County. You can ask most of the good old boys, they'll tell you that. But this has been a somewhat disingenuous discussion.
Well, John, I disagree with you on that, and I also know and respect you, as you pointed out. We're not enemies in this or any other issue, but you know, that resolution, as I understand it, was a non-binding resolution, and attempting to really use the power of the legal representation to attempt to enforce a non-enforceable resolution as a gag order is essentially what's going on.
And that's incorrect, Matt.
That's not accurate. That's my take on it.
You have inaccurately presented the email, and you say, as you understand it, well, your understanding is wrong. You're right. Agreeing to disagree. You and I are part of that marketplace of ideas. But if you think about it logically, for an officer of the party to go critique publicly, there are only three officers elected in El Paso County. Anybody else, as long as they do it individually, can critique Representative Stevens. Representative Stevens and I have knocked heads more than once, more than you have with her. But in this, the fact that an elected officer wanted to go have a press conference in breach of her fiduciary obligation as an elected official.
Well, John, fiduciary applies to dollars and cents, and so that's not a fiduciary obligation. But again, it's still, in my view, a gag order on one elected official by another elected official. Certainly elected officials, as state party officials, must remain neutral in primaries. And ironically enough, the state party chair in the last election for his successor was not neutral in a primary. And it, strangely enough, people didn't speak out on that. So clearly the precedent has been set that state party or party officials can weigh in on discussions and critique candidates.
John, thanks so much for the call. Unfortunately, we got to go to a break and move on with the program. Thank you. This is Jimmy Sangenberger sitting in for Ross Kaminsky here on Backbone Radio on AM 710 KNUS Denver, 1460 KZNT Colorado Springs. Stay with us. Don't go anywhere. We got lots more ahead coming up here on Backbone Radio.
News Talk 710.
Can we come together as a nation behind freedom and liberty? That is the question. We are back here on Backbone Radio. Jimmy Sangenberger sitting in for Ross Kaminsky on this Mother's Day night. Thanks so much for joining us here on AM 710 KNUS in Denver, 1460 KZNT Colorado Springs, and on the web at 710knus.com. Back here in the studio with our guest, Matt Arnold from Clear the Bench Colorado, on the web at clearthebenchcolorado.org. Matt, I want to get back to our discussion before of reapportionment and redistricting. You were just talking about how we have some unaccountable people who are making these sorts of decisions. How are things panning out right now? Does it look like these unaccountable people are going to end up getting the controls more or less over this process again, or is it going to be a better situation this time around?
Well, it's definitely going to be a better situation this time around. And not to bang my own drum, but I think the existence of Clear the Bench Colorado had something to do with that, because the judicial appointees this time, and to Chief Justice Bender's credit, he at least didn't stack the partisan deck to make it glaringly obvious that one side was simply going to be able to steamroller the commission and do whatever they wanted to do. The partisan balance on the commission is 5-5-1. There are 5 Democrats, 5 Republicans, and 1 unaffiliated member of the commission, thanks to Justice Bender's appointments. He actually appointed 1 Democrat, 1 unaffiliated, and 2 Republicans. Now, one might question just how strongly conservative or stalwart these Republicans are, but at least on the surface, Chief Justice Bender's appointments have introduced, at least on paper, partisan balance to the commission. So I think we are going to have at least a chance of a more reasonable result. It will not be a steamroller by one side. So again, credit where credit is due, Chief Justice Bender, and from all accounts, partially because he felt the pressure, partially because he felt that the good name of the judicial branch certainly had been sullied by his predecessor and brought to light by the efforts of Clear the Bench Colorado, more people paying attention to the judiciary try to make things at least a little bit more balanced. So I think on that commission, and we won't know for a while, that commission won't come out with their results until September. There will be public comment in the fall, so please stay tuned to Clear the Bench Colorado for news on that, and please do support clearthebenchcolorado.org so that we can continue to bring this information to you and help educate the public. In the meantime, there's a huge battle brewing on redistricting, congressional redistricting. And we're down to the final couple of days for the state legislature to do their job and pass a redistricting bill. There were hearings last week on Thursday in both the House and the Senate. The House passed their version, essentially the Republican compromise map. The Democrats passed their version, the Democrat so-called compromise map. So now they're going to go to a debate, and it's going to come down to Monday or Tuesday. Hopefully, people can get involved, and hopefully the legislature will actually come to a compromise and pass a redistricting bill so we don't have to send this thing to the courts again. Again, this should not be the job of the courts. Our Constitution is very clear that it is not the job of the courts. It's the job of the legislature to do congressional redistricting.
Now, when you're talking about congressional redistricting, something that always comes into play, really no matter which political party is in power, is something called gerrymandering, which is where you position the districts in a way which is most beneficial to your political party.
Right.
How is it looking in terms of the Democrats, for example, which control the Senate and the governorship, and their ability to align these districts? And are they trying to do something along those lines in a clearly partisan way, and have the Republicans put forth an alternative that looks like think it has a chance of succeeding?
Well, I think that the Democrat map has moved quite a bit. They came out with some very radical proposals that were very, very different from the current map. And because of public pressure and because of public comment, their map has started to move more in the direction of a reasonable compromise and try not to move the districts as much from what they are. And that's actually one of the statutory constraints to minimize the change. And it's very important because what the Democrat language has been, they've been talking up this concept of competitiveness. Now, I believe competitiveness is a canard. They're using that term when they really mean a better chance for Democrats to win everything. But the most important thing is that competitiveness is nowhere found in the constitutional guidelines for how our congressional districts must be drawn up. Again, our Constitution is very clear. Article 5, Section 47 lays out the criteria, and they are in order. Each district should be as compact as possible, contiguous. Number two, keep counties intact as much as possible. Number three, maintain communities of interest. Those are, and I'd give a very short version of that and read that constitutional language on clearthebenchcolorado.org and the detail about that. But those are the criteria. Competitiveness is not a criterion that shows up anywhere in constitutional language, and it's not backed up by case law.
Now, isn't, in my mind, when I hear the word competitiveness, I think it's the Democrats really saying, okay, we have districts that look like they would lean Republican and go towards Republican. Maybe they currently have, such as the 6th Congressional District, a Republican who is representing that district, and really they want to make it so that it's more amicable to Democrats so that they will have a better shot. That it's not really about legitimate competitiveness. At least that's the sense that I've got, at least looking at it from a political standpoint.
Right. And most importantly, again, competitiveness based on partisan affiliation is not a good judge of whether or not a district is representative or even competitive. A Democrat from Denver is quite clearly different from a Democrat in Alamosa. A Republican in Denver is quite clearly different from a Douglas County Republican. So it's more important that the districts represent their populations. And trying to gerrymander or merrymander, which is the courts doing it, these districts to try to set up this artificial construct of, that looks like it's competitive based on registration numbers on paper, but really does not represent the district, I think is a false dichotomy. It's a canard and a stalking horse. And it really doesn't have any, it certainly doesn't have any constitutional basis. It doesn't have any statutory or legal case law basis either.
We only have a couple minutes left, Matt Arnold, our guest right now here on Backbone Radio. Where is this thing headed? How does it look like it's going to pan out with regards to redistricting and reapportionment, if you can look into your crystal ball right now?
Well, I'm most likely it's going to go to the courts, unfortunately, on redistricting, and that's very unfortunate. I think there's a last chance for people to weigh in. I've heard that there are going to be more hearings on the next round this coming Tuesday. People can still call in and contact their representatives, urge them to do their jobs, pass a redistricting bill out of the legislature. It is their responsibility, and show up and testify as to what you would like to see on these maps and how you'd like to be represented in Congress. So please be a citizen, not a subject. Get involved in the process. Let your opinion be known and reach out to your representatives and other representatives and show up and testify.
Thanks a lot, Matt Arnold, for joining us. You know, this is an issue where we really do have a say as citizens of the state of Colorado. And if you are a voter, if you are a resident in this state, you are a citizen, it's not just something you can do. It's really something that you have a duty to do by contacting your legislator or going to testify before the House or Senate or this redistricting committee on any of these issues. But redistricting and reapportionment are two of those issues that are absolutely critical. Thanks again, Matt. We're going to take a quick break here on Backbone Radio. Jimmy Sangenberger sitting in for Ross Kaminsky. Andy McKeon from Liberty Day is up next. Stay with us. Don't go anywhere.